Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. And a couple episodes ago, I think it was towards the tail end of last week, I recorded an intro. If you guys tuned into that pod, you'll recall I recorded at Alpine Golf Club. I was out in the parking lot there waiting for a few playing partners to show up to go duke it out in an epic nine-hole match there at the front nine of Alpine. And so we're back this episode to recap that event. And so you guys have kind of gotten to know a little bit of Derek. He was on the podcast a few weeks ago talking NASCAR and other nonsense. And you've also heard me reference Evan. And this time, Evan's going to be live with us as that nine-hole match. Derek and I teamed up to take on Evan and his good friend Alex. And so we're going to be talking that match, kind of how things played out, and then getting Derek's feedback on Alpine, Evan's feedback on Alpine, and just kind of see what the thoughts are. But before we do that, let's turn it over to Evan. Evan, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about you and then your golf game and kind of where you're at.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. I appreciate you inviting me on to join in this podcast. So yeah, a little bit. I'm what you would call an average golfer. Nothing too special. You usually try to get out once or twice a week. Really find some power in those drives. You know, I am a flat belly golfer, so the long distances is where I find the value. And I get to the short game, chipping and putting, that's where I'm trying to take from you and learn a little bit. So yeah, Alpine really played on a lot of those strengths for me, so I'm excited to talk about this course with you.
Nice. Yeah, you are a flat belly man. I'm a little envious of your body fat percentage. I wouldn't mind lowering mine a few points. But what about you, Dirk? What do you think? I mean, you're back on the podcast now, and you got some golf clubs in your hand. Last time you talked XPCs, and you got to dust them off and show us what they're all about.
Yeah, it was good to get out with you guys. I mean, it had been probably about two and a half years or so since I had even swung a club. But before we talk about me, you know, I referenced last time that I somewhat look like Vince Vaughn, BJ Singh. Who do you think Evan looks like? I want people, you know, I'm a visual guy. I see a little bit of James Franco in Evan. I mean, what do you think, Garrett? Who does he resemble? Putting you on the spot here.
I guess we do have to give a visual for everyone here on this podcast. They don't get to see what I really look like.
No. And I didn't get any good video of you, although I've got a great video to promote this podcast with of Derek. So we'll make sure to push that to Instagram. But
I'd say a good mix between Dave Franco and Rory McIlroy is a good definition of my look and my play style.
Ooh. See, I can't think of Dave Franco, so maybe I'll have to Google that. He's
the younger one, right?
Younger one.
I mean, we were just talking about that, and I hope his name's Dave. We didn't actually look it up. But anyway, I mean, we're here to talk golf, not the Franco brothers.
Right.
So let's talk Alpine. I mean, before we get into the course a little bit, I mean, Derek, like you said, that was your first time golfing in 2 years.
Yeah, it was pretty eye-opening. One of my questions during the last pod was in regards to some of the equipment used, and then we joked about my XPCs as they – you know, I thought they were a premium line, and they're a no-name, but
the extra precious club.
Yeah, that's right. One of my questions was about golf gloves, and, you know, we talked about how your left hand is kind of, you know, when you're right-handed golfer is kind of the power hand, or maybe the power, mm-hmm. the control hand.
Yeah.
I didn't have a golf glove, and I don't, by hole five or six, my hand was getting quite sore, so it was actually pretty interesting to see that kind of in person, but
you got to experience the downside of no glove.
I know, it was pretty brutal, but it was still fun. I mean, I think the biggest eye-opening part for me was that golf is also, it's obviously a great competitive sport, but, you know, it was just fun being out with you guys. I mean, I've golfed in part of business meetings and kind of a forced round, so to speak, and I personally didn't find it very enjoyable, but I think, you know, one of the beautiful things I've learned about golf is just that if you're out there with your buddies, it's a fun time. I mean, it was enjoyable. It was a good way to be outside. You know, the world's kind of crazy right now, but it was great to get out with you guys and swing some clubs, get some fresh air, and learn a little bit. So no, it was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, that was it was awesome, and you got to hit some extra precious shots with your extra precious clubs.
Yep.
And we got to see you rip the hippo driver.
Yeah, how'd you like that hippo driver?
It works better in your hands than it does in mine.
Evan, what'd you think of the hippo?
The hippo definitely gave you some distance if you hit it right.
I think one of the things we'll be talking about with Alpine is, you know, from it was a nice course. I thought it was in from a no-name perspective because I don't know many different courses, but it seemed like everything was well taken care of, but I thought some of the holes were a little bit narrow. So I was hitting, constantly hitting off the tee into the adjacent fairway. So I was hitting onto the wrong fairway probably half the time. So I don't know if you guys have any experience with a slice as bad as mine, but it was definitely eye-opening for me. It was always chasing where, you know, where did that ball land, and always stepping on the toes of the other golfers on the other hole.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you, Derek. The narrow course really rewarded people who had more of an accurate game and really asked you to be more methodical in your game and not so much go for those killer drives, killer shots, and more so go a little bit shorter and be a little bit more precise.
Yeah, one thing we could park on here real quick, and Garrett, with your experience, and you as well, Evan, because you've got far more experience than I do, is, you know, what effect, if my XPCs are too short for me, I'm a taller guy, what effect does short clubs have on somebody? You know, it doesn't matter how tall you are. If your clubs are too short, what are some of the pitfalls of that?
Yeah, well, if your clubs are too short, you're going to just naturally try and compensate in other areas of your swing. And whether it's your setup at address, you might go in with a little too much bend at the hip, you might go in a little too much knee flex trying to get down to the ball comfortably, and what that's going to cause is just going to cause you to kind of raise up more or less. And so that's, I know you hit a few toppers out there, mm-hmm. and hit a few skinny, and that happens, and I do believe that is kind of a big factor, having the clubs that are a little too short for you. And it leads to inconsistency, because your body's always kind of going to make those compensations to try and adapt and make the club work for you instead of just letting it work. So I think, yeah, tall dude, I mean, a couple extra inches on the back end of that club might be beneficial for you. But, I mean, shoot, man, how long are you looking to keep those for? I mean, they had a $20 price tag on them when we were playing.
So. I did try to sell them in a garage sale about 3 or 4 years ago, and they didn't sell. It was a $20 price tag, and I had, I think, 4 iron through 9, and then I don't have any wedges, and I had four woods. So one of which was a 4 wood. So yeah, they didn't sell by any means. But
so you had the whole set for $20. What kind of putter did you have again? I forget.
Pro 4.
A Pro 4 putter. And
when it's got a name like Pro 4, you know it's top of the line.
Well, it's funny because I've never seen the word Pro, P-R-O, and 4, F-O-R-E, used on the same piece of equipment. I mean, they're kind of contradicting to each other, but...
Well, I let my putting game speak for itself here. I mean, I know Evan was pretty jealous of some of the putts I had.
I'm jealous of the putts and some of those layups you had. Your chipping game blew my mind. I was not expecting it to be that precise and that accurate for only golfing about 2 years before this. Yeah.
I agree. For a dude that chips with a 9 iron, I mean, I don't chip with a 9 iron, and it's because I'm not good at it. But you hit some chip shots, man, that were, I mean, you knocked down some putts with the Pro 4. You knocked down some nice chip shots that were closer than some of my attempts. But before we kind of talk more about that, really, I mean, I did say that we had a pretty good match. So Derek and I mean, you and I teamed up against Evan and his buddy Alex, and we played a 2-person scramble. So yeah, having Derek out for the first time in a few years and not knowing what his game was like and just wanting to have a good time and get him on the golf course and enjoying the experience, we decided to team up in a 2-man scramble. So we played a lot. I mean, one of your goals was to have one or two of your shots count, and we had more than one or two of your shots count.
I don't know if it was much more.
In our match. I mean, you knocked down some putts. You hit some chip shots that were very close, and that was awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I mean, I think the interesting thing is hearing Evan talk about how probably butcher it, but your long game was strong, but you said you've got some areas to work on in terms of chipping and on the greens, whereas I'm kind of the exact opposite. I'm next to worthless off the tee, but I had a few chip shots. I mean, we're talking 10 feet off the greens, chipping it, you know, I had a couple that came within a couple feet of the hole, so I surprised myself. And what's the old adage, a blind squirrel still finds a nut every now and then? That was kind of me.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You almost chipped that one in on 3. Almost chipped that in for birdie for us. That would have really been bad news for Evan and Alex, because I think we already had a couple stroke lead, didn't we, Evan?
Yeah, it was a little stroke lead at first, and you just slowly but surely kept growing that lead. And I think we ended up, you shot 38 as a team, and Alex and I were at 44, so... 6 past them was not a great round. We're definitely gonna have to get out there and get a rematch there when we're a little bit more warmed up. But it was a good match. It was close for most of the holes. There weren't any crazy, you know, eights or nines, but there were a few, you know, you were two over us or one over us, and yeah, those slowly crept up on that score and got to the point there wasn't much of a chance for us to come back and secure that win against you too.
But you guys did birdie the last hole, which was awesome.
We did birdie the last hole, which we were very happy about. We had only gotten some pars and no birdies yet, so that was a fun birdie to get on that last hole. Really ended the round right.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. So Evan kind of spoiler alerted and gave away the results of the match prior to the end of this podcast. I was hoping to string you listeners along for a little while longer, but that's okay, Evan.
I like to get it out of the way. And then people won't forget about it. They won't worry about the score.
Yeah, lead with score. And then we'll talk golf course after that, huh? So, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, Evan, what was your kind of – Alpine Golf Club was new to all three of us, which was pretty cool. I mean, it's not often – again, I've played a lot of golf around here myself. And, Evan, you've played a ton of golf around here too.
I
so
have, yes.
I feel like it's not often that we – all show up to a golf course we've never ever played before. And so what was your first impression of Alpine? What'd you think?
Yeah, my first impression is there was a lot of heights that really added a fun dynamic to the round. There was a lot of holes where you were shooting up a hill and you had to really account for that, or there was holes where you were teeing off pretty high up and you had to go down, and you know, it's always fun trying to see how far you can drive off there. And as I alluded to at the beginning, you know, I am a better driver. That is where my strengths come in. And I was glad that we were in the scramble, because off the tees, I was really able to set us up for a good second shot. And my second shot was not very great. So Alex really saved us there. But they were, as we said earlier, you know, a little contradictory of saying, you know, it is narrow and it's better for the methodical and short game. But I was rocking the long game when we went out there that day. Mm-hmm. And Alex had more of the methodical and short saves for us.
Yeah, that first hole. Well, for me, Alpine, I mean, I drive down it and I've seen the golf course before, but I never really had any idea of where the course was and kind of how it was laid out. But when you pull off of Alpine into the parking lot and the clubhouse is sitting right there in front of you on top of this hill, it's really pretty. And then when you get behind the clubhouse and you see the golf course and how everything, the practice green, the first tee, the 10th tee, everything's perched up on this hill, and then you immediately just go right down. And it was really, really cool having all that space and all those holes kind of built into the hillside and playing down in kind of the valley that was there. And that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, starting off with that first hole, like you were saying, you are on a hill and you're dropping down a good drop. It's a good amount of feet. I mean, I know we had some rough first tee shots off there trying to get it. You got some good shots, but they were over on, what was it, the 10th hole that we were hitting onto, the 10th fairway? Or
I know I leaked one over onto hole three. I think Derek dribbled one off the front of the tee box.
Yeah, but once we got it off, it was a good one to start off on, because, you know, a lot of times you're starting off on these tees and you want to get a good drive to get the round started right. And it was nice kind of getting those longer drives at the beginning, get your confidence up and really be able to get that momentum moving early on in the round.
It was, and you bombed that one off the first, shoot, right down the middle of the fairway, and had maybe like 100 yards in or something like that. But kind of what Derek was saying earlier too, kind of leading into a little bit of that, is that I did leak my first tee shot. I actually hit two off the first tee just for kind of warm up, and both of them ended up over near the third fairway. And that was one thing that kind of did catch me by surprise, is that Alpine Golf Club, beautiful layout and really cool design, but they really squeezed a lot of golf into a small piece of property, because I felt like I was in the danger zone a little bit at times, and I felt like maybe I was potentially endangering other people on adjacent holes, just because, I mean, it felt like you were playing with everybody else that was out there. And it was a cool experience, because the course was in good shape. I mean, it was very well kept. I thought the greens were nice, the fairways and tees. And when we talked on a previous podcast, I think Derek, you had asked what's kind of the defining feature of a golf course that makes you want to play it again, and it is the putting surfaces for me. And we talked about that, and the greens were smooth. They were smooth, they were quick, and they were nice, but man, I felt like I was always having to look out for golf balls, you know.
I think one question I have for you guys, cuz I could probably list off all the golf courses I've played in the last 15, 20 years. I remember even before, probably 20 years ago, I remember when I had a short stretch of life where I was into golf, and Grand Isle it's no longer in existence, but it was over on West River Drive. I remember playing that with some friends. I think I was in like ninth grade at the time. But other than that period of time, I remember playing a course probably 10 years ago up near Big Star Lake up in, I can't remember the county, Lake County maybe. I played that course, and then from then I played Kauffman about 7 years ago, and then I played Grand Valley's Meadows. I referenced one about 2.5 years ago. I played that one, and then this one. So I've got very little to compare anything to. So I remember asking Garrett, you know, in terms of overall value to cost and what you get for the dollars spent on. I thought it was a good value from an outsider's perspective. I think Garrett agreed with me. But one question I have is a unique way to look at when they pack so much into a smaller piece of property. In a way, is that a good challenge? Does that help you hone your game a little bit better, or is that, for the most part, this sounds like a strong way to say it, but is it kind of an annoyance to have to play around other people, have people like myself constantly hitting over into the other fairway? Do you see it more of as kind of like a potential detractor, or do you see it as, hey, this is a great way to kind of hone my game and be more precise? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and answer that one first, because I know Garrett said when he goes for a course, he looks for the greens, and I more so look for fairways. I like playing a good fairway game. I like a good challenge. And one thing that Alpine Golf Club really did that added the challenge was it was tighter, so it made you change your game a little bit to try and play with that. You know, you weren't able to try and just smack a ball as hard as you could. You really had to know where you were aiming and where you were going to be hitting. And a lot of times with those hills, you weren't really seeing where you were going to be hitting your ball, where your ball was going to land. So you really had to trust that your aim and your accuracy is going to get you to where you wanted to be. So although some courses may have the larger fairways and a little bit more room to play with, you're allowed to be a little bit more haphazard with your swings, where at Alpine Golf Club, you really had to be precise and maybe go down a club or use some clubs that you're more comfortable with to get to those safe spots so you could get the better shots and layups onto the greens.
Do you find yourself sacrificing distance for precision in a scenario, or hey, normally you might be able to hit it because you have more open space, you could Happy Gilmore it down the fairway?
Sure.
Do you find yourself, maybe you reference going down a club, do you find yourself purposely hitting it 10 yards shorter, whatever amount maybe, because you know you've got to stay within the lines a little bit more precisely?
I did, at least, Garrett. I don't know about yourself. You know, if I were to play Alpine Golf Club again, I would play it very differently than I did. And I kind of let the scramble mentality get the better of me. Alpine was a shorter golf course than what I usually am accustomed to playing, and which does... it is fun because, like you guys both kind of mentioned, it does require more strategy off the tee, and you are being more precise about where you're going to put your tee shot in order to hit the best second shot and best approach to the green. And the scramble mentality got the better of me because I trusted that Derek and your hippo were going to put us in play in some capacity. And so I ripped driver a lot more often than I probably would have had I been playing my own ball. I probably would have hit a lot more four irons off the tee and just kind of been more strategic that way. Especially those first few holes, like hole one, I mean, driver was fine. It wasn't required by any means because I think we played my tee shot, which was in a fine spot, but we were only like 65 or 70 yards from the green, which was short, and I could have laid back a little bit. And then two, being a par three, that was cool over the pond. But the stretch of three and four, three was that dogleg left par four back up the hill. That had a super narrow fairway, and I personally had no business hitting driver on that hole other than purely for fun. I would have definitely hit a four iron and kind of been more precise in that way on that hole. And then same with the next one. The next hole, four, was another downhill tee shot where if you went too far, I did hit four iron off that hole actually, because I remember that pond comes into play. And I mean, Evan, didn't you hit an iron too off that hole, didn't you? Or did you hit driver as well?
I hit driver and it didn't land too nicely. Luckily, Alex had a nicer shot off that when he played with his three wood. And it wasn't as far of a shot, but it got us where we needed to be and allowed us to get some better iron shots to get up that hill afterwards.
It did, yeah, that's right. And so three was a tricky hole because that, you're right, that kind of pinched fairway and that uphill approach shot where you can't see the putting surface does lead to some challenge. But then four, the downhill par four, when I hit the four iron, Derek, I hit that one left a little bit and we had a little tree trouble there. So we took your tee shot. We took the old hippo, let one loose and we took your ball, which was a little bit right, but still in good position.
And if I remember correctly, that following shot was one of my better 9 irons up on the up. It went just past the hole, and it was beginner's luck, maybe.
That's right, because you hit that one. Evan and Alex were up by the green, and Evan, you said Derek's shot kind of spun back a little bit, even, didn't you?
Yeah, he had a little bit of a backspin on it, and I was asking how he got that, because I've been working on that for about a year now, and I have no clue how to get there, and he pulled it out of nowhere and had a beautiful lay on the fringe of that green. So I was taken back a little bit when I saw that shot, and that was the beginning of the downhill of the round for us there.
Dude, I tell you, it's the XPCs, man.
They're not extra precious for nothing.
And not only are they extra precious, but I mean, I'm sure, Derek, obviously you've had them for some time, but with the lack of frequency that they're used, I'm sure those grooves are pretty sharp. They probably do have a little bit of bite in them.
So, shifting gears here, you know, I'm a NASCAR fan. No, I won't go there, but what was the most memorable shot of the 9 holes? I know what mine was, but
I think we all have the same one. I think mine's 9 as well.
Ninth hole?
Yeah. We'll get to that one.
I have a question for you too, because I want to get your opinions. Was it 7 and 9 that both had that camelback fairway?
6 and 7. Well, 9 kind of did. You talking about
where you had to ring the bell on 9?
Oh, you had to ring the bell on 9. Yep.
And then we had the other one where you were shooting uphill, and as soon as you got to the top of the hill, about 200 yards out on both of them, then you had a straight downhill. So that was a very interesting play too, because you had to shoot over somewhere you didn't know where you're going to be landing with your driver.
Yeah.
And then you're shooting down, so you're going to get a lot more distance on that second shot either way. And those were interesting plays, and that was two of my favorite holes on Alpine Golf Club, just because they really brought an interesting challenge and I wasn't expecting them. And I did better on 9, obviously we got the birdie, but that 7 was a little bit of a challenge for Alex and I.
That's right, 7 was tough. It's 6 and 7. I always like courses like that, like Alpine, what they did with the back-to-back par 5s. I think from a scoring perspective and just kind of an opportunity to kind of build some momentum when playing and having a good time, it's having back-to-back par 5s that are both not terribly long. They're both reachable in 2 if you hit good shots. And 6 and 7 were definitely my favorite holes, for sure. But that's because I'm kind of partial to par 5s, and I think Derek and I did birdie. And we birdied at least one of them. I can't remember. Yeah. And we birdied 7. I don't remember if we birdied 6. I don't think we did. But still, super cool holes. And having that uphill tee shot and then downhill approach does make for a pretty aesthetically pleasing design feature. But 9, where you guys made birdie, That one was cool with the camelback and kind of having to ring the bell, but that's too tight of a fairway for me, man. That makes me uncomfortable. I know you guys hit it.
Yeah,
but that was a squeeze.
That was quite a squeeze.
I mean, getting off that tee and kind of being in the trees there and having to get out, I think it made Derek a little nervous. You really squeezed that tee shot, didn't you, Derek?
Yeah. Needless to say, I'm wondering if this is the little promo video you have in mind, but I think I did the undoable. I might have made history actually, but. I was gearing up, man. I was huffing and puffing. You know, I'm a bigger guy. It was then the last hole. No pressure's on. You know, I had the team on my back, and I dusted off the hippo. Got a fresh. I think it was a DDH or a precept ball. You know, top of the line. teed up and
DDH.
And I line drived that thing as fast as you can imagine. Off the, I don't know how far the tee box was, what the distance was, probably 20 feet.
Yeah, I bet you probably had 8 to 10 yards there.
And it was a line drive, low right, it hit the physical tee box marker, if that's the technical term.
Yeah, you hit the tee marker.
And it zoomed back behind us. So again, I hit it, 10 yards, you know, 8 to 10 yards ahead.
Mm-hmm.
2 inches off the ground, hit the tee box marker, ricocheted back behind me, probably into the brush,
the bushes.
Another 8 to 10 yards, maybe.
Yeah.
And we got the whole thing on video.
And that's the ball they ended up playing.
Yep.
Come on, Evan.
That was my breakfast ball. Is that the technical term?
No, you don't get to take breakfast balls on hole 9. We'll talk about that at another time. We'll educate you on the breakfast ball concept. But that, Derek, was I mean, I could not have picked a better moment to take a video. The only thing I wish is I would have taken that video in slow motion because, gosh, that was too funny. And you really, you wound up to just rip that hippo on nine and playing the blue tees and having those white tee markers a little bit up. I don't know. It's just like, and you had hit some pretty good tee shots. I mean, they leaked to the right, but you hit, I mean, you never had too much trouble getting it off the ground after that first hole and until nine. And then, but I tell you what, man, you made contact and it sounded ripped. And so having it on camera to see you hit the ball and then hit the tee marker and then to have it come back past your head at about head height, I think that was where I got the biggest laugh, was the fact that, like, that could have just knocked you in the dome there on the way by, but it just kind of whizzed by and into the bushes, and everybody's kind of laughing. You were a great sport about it. So
we had quite a endeavor on nine. I know Alex had his one and only good tee shot after playing 8 mile and hitting the ball right as the beat started dropping. So it was a great way to end the round. It was a very interesting tee, though.
It was a cool finishing hole, and coming off of eight was a cool hole too. I did enjoy hole eight, kind of having that dogleg right, but you couldn't, kind of what we talked about before, you couldn't see the landing area, which was a little bit different than what I'm used to. But and then going to nine, having the same exact thing. But nine was cool in the way that it was framed by the trees. It was a very pretty finishing hole over the hill and then and back down towards the parking lot. It was really, really pretty going kind of into the sunset too that evening. And you're right, Alex took him eight holes to do it. But the dude, I mean, he was a blast to play with, and took him eight holes to cue up his M&M, which apparently got him all fired up, because he hit a money tee ball for you guys.
He did, finally.
We should do that on the first hole.
Honestly, we should have started with that.
That's what we told him, and I know we're going to get out for a rematch here soon, because I know you guys want some redemption.
Yes, we need some redemption.
And so I'm not opposed to playing with music. I know a lot of guys that play with music in the cart, and I'm cool with it. And yeah. And I don't know, Derek, I mean, what do you think? You like?
I'd vote for some, you know, old school country music, not this new school garbage. I want, you know, some good country music. You know, Charlie Daniels, he just recently passed away. I've been listening to that nonstop. I mean, I don't know, I think that it's got to be the right kind of tunes, but, you know, some like Eminem, some like old, you know, true country music, which is rarer and rarer, but that's a whole nother rabbit trail right there.
Man, being a family man with three kids, I would have thought for sure you were more of like a kids bop kind of guy, or maybe like the Frozen 2 soundtrack or something.
No, Frozen 2 is actually the worst movie ever made.
Hey, we're not here to review movies. Your movie opinions are subjective.
I've actually heard they've considered, like, during wartime that is torture to have just put Frozen 2 on for nonstop repeat. I mean, that feels like kind of like my house sometimes, where it's always Frozen and nothing but Frozen and Frozen 2.
Well, going back to the chorus,
fan, sorry for the offensive conversation there that Derek went off on.
I feel strongly.
I did want to talk about one thing. We were avoiding this. These were two holes that we all struggled on a little bit, but we were talking about the back-to-back par fives. They also had back-to-back par threes right at the beginning. And I don't really remember how you two played on it, but I remember Alex and I did not play very well on these par threes. I think we had a bogey and a double bogey following.
Well, the second hole, if we kind of rewind, the second hole was a par three over the pond.
Yes.
Where you guys, actually everybody hit the green but Derek. Derek, he ripped the hippo on the par three. So he's just kind of getting a feel for his game. And the main objective for Derek on hole two there was to cover the pond. Is what can we hit to get off this tee and cover the pond? So we thought, well, we might as well tee it up. Might as well give you the biggest club face in your bag. And you did it, though, man. You ripped it over. I mean, you didn't hit the green, but you missed only probably maybe 15 yards, 20 yards right, and you were pin high. So I mean, we could have played it if we wanted to, but I was on the dance floor. So.
See, I actually found that was actually a nerve-wracking experience for me, because, you know, you see all the pros around you. I'm the newcomer. They're grabbing their 6-iron or
9-iron.
Or 9-iron for par 3, and here I am grabbing my driver, you know. And, you know, the old trusty hippo, you know, it did work, man. It worked for me, but it's interesting from an outsider's perspective to see how focused you are in the right club makes a huge difference. But then somebody like me that has no experience and I have not honed in my game, you know, it takes a totally different tool for me to get the same distance. I mean, it's definitely was an interesting observation.
But we're gonna go to the range shortly after recording this podcast and give you a few pointers and tips to maybe help you with some of those other clubs and stuff like that. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I might find I have a driver, 3-wood, 4-wood, and 5-wood, and I don't think I used anything but my driver and maybe my 5-wood. So perhaps one of those is toned for D-Rock.
Might give you that extra special something that you need.
It might have that.
But speaking of the par 3s, Evan, the other they weren't back-to-back, I don't
they
remember.
They weren't, yeah, I was going to say, my orientation of the course is a little off. I forgot that we had that par 4 after
it. 2 was the par 3, and then 3 and 4 were the par 4s, and then 5 was the par 3.
Yeah, and that's where we witnessed the Skins game.
That's what I wanted to explain next. This is another kind of we don't try and coin too many things, but we did kind of coin hashtag welcome to Alpine for that moment, because it's not often you're out on the golf course. And I had just gotten done earlier in the week telling Evan about a Skins game I play out in Kauffman on Tuesdays. And so it's a Skins game, and Evan's the funny guy, so he's shirts and Skins, old school basketball jokes. And we truly saw a Skins game occurring on the fifth hole. I mean, again, it wasn't on our hole, but it was on an adjacent hole. And all of a sudden, I think that distracted us a little bit. And we did. Derek and I made bogey. You and Alex made double on a 140-yard par 3. And when you got the guy shirtless on the adjacent hole, you just kind of get caught by surprise. Don't you?
Yeah, that's not something that you see every day, especially at a golf course. So it definitely threw my game off a little bit seeing that, especially laughing about the Skins game earlier in the week than actually seeing a Skins game really really threw us for a loop.
But, you know, I mean, that's what we kind of joked about. You guys kind of razzed me because it's not often. I mean, you guys all were super good about your golf etiquette and your apparel. You all showed up in your collared shirts and shorts and
cargo shorts.
And yeah, Derek, you had the cargos on so you could keep your Bud Light cold in your cargo pocket. But I showed up in a t-shirt and for no other reason than kind of what I observed showing up at Alpine. I mean, it seemed like a very laid back golf course, and as evidence of what we witnessed on hole 5, I mean, you can get out there and work on your tan lines. And
yeah,
I mean, not to bring COVID into this, but I mean, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service, but apparently no shirt doesn't apply. So, I mean, if you play Alpine Golf Club, hey, shirts are optional.
Everything in life is optional.
Maybe not in the clubhouse, but at least out on the course. So, everything in life is optional, but that leads into a whole nother area.
A whole other conversation.
But overall, I think, what do you guys say? Alpine Golf Club, Derek, you mentioned at the beginning the value. It was $22 for 9 holes with a cart. I mean, would you guys pay $22 to play 9 holes at Alpine again?
Yeah, I would play again. I always love to play back and front on most courses I play. So I'd go back and try out the back, see what differences they have back there. And I honestly would go back more times too. It was a fun course. All in all, it was a good time and very fun to play. And it has its own challenges that every time you play, you're going to find a new way to improve yourself there.
Yeah, I absolutely would. I thought it was, you know, again, from somebody that doesn't play golf regularly, one of my concerns, I didn't really voice it, but there's this understanding that golf can be an expensive hobby, like all other hobbies, I would say. You know, so in my mind, I had no clue. I'm like thinking, okay, am I going to be spending $50 here, or what's the deal? You know, is it even going to be fun? And it was a lot of fun, and I thought $22 was very reasonable. You know, obviously I enjoyed using the cart as well, but I'd absolutely go back. I think if I was more experienced, I would look at it as, you know, a unique course. I need to be more precise and hone in my game that way. But I think the cool thing about Alpine too, I actually live not too far from Alpine Golf Club, and that's kind of just the mentality of that area. Very laid back, not judgmental, not too critical. But like to have fun. I mean, it's I've been living in that area for about 10 years now, and it's very, very well represented in that way. But I'd definitely go back. I definitely want to play the other 9 again and get a feel for it, any differences. But how about you, Garrett? You're the most experienced one here, so what about you?
I tell you, for $22 for 9 holes with a cart, I would definitely go back and play Alpine again. And like Evan said, I would like to check out the back 9, so we'll have to maybe round up Alex and get back out there for another match on the back 9. But like you said, Derek, I mean, because golf has a reputation of kind of being a bit of a kind of a stuffy game. I mean, collared shirts, slacks, all that stuff. And And to have a course like Alpine that's in good condition, that's well kept, and just a really pretty layout, and to have it be open to anybody and everybody, it was a very relaxed atmosphere. So having the option for people to just come out and enjoy the time, and whether you're wearing a polo, a cutoff, or no shirt at all, I mean, you don't see that often, but it's cool that you can get out there and enjoy the experience and play golf and make it available to everybody to have a good time. So that's rare around here. So I appreciate Alpine for what it offers in that respect.
One quick question, kind of, I probably would have been more appropriate for the last podcast I was on, but in terms of etiquette and playing through, I mean, there were a lot of people out golfing.
Yeah.
And we had no issues with speed of play. There wasn't really the people ahead of us. We saw them a couple times, so they were kind of on pace with us. And the people behind us, I think maybe we had to wait a couple times, but you referenced a not so stuffy or a stuffy atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
What are some, have you had bad experiences with people rushing you to play or being disrespectful or people having you taking their time and having to confront them or ask to play through? I mean, have you had bad experiences with that in other courses? I mean, I there were no issues I thought of at Alpine.
No, sure. I mean, pace of play is always kind of not an issue, but it's always something you think about and you consider when you're out playing. And playing Alpine at the time that we did, I think we teed off at like 5:40 or something like that. So we were right at the back end of a league. And so when you know what the expectation is kind of going into it, and if we're following a league, we're not going to play through. So if we're tailing the group in front of us, we know that it's going to be a little slower maybe, but that's to be expected. But I felt like you're right, because we were a foursome, we had a twosome behind us, and that twosome was super respectful. They didn't ever push us or make us kind of feel like we were holding them up. And so it just seemed like everybody was out there to have a good time and enjoy the experience. You feel the same way, Evan?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't have too much to say about the pace. We weren't playing too slow, but I agree. The pace was good. No one was too rude or pushing on us. We weren't pushing on anyone else. So, yeah, I agree with what you two were saying.
Nice. And Derek, you're big into star ratings. So, I mean, obviously we all kind of gave Alpine the seal of approval, and we'll definitely be back for more. But, I mean, out of 5 stars, how do you rate Alpine Golf Club?
Well, I think it's difficult for me to do so in terms of overall quality because I have so little to compare it to. But I remember saying to Garrett, I think it was in hole 2 or 3, it was pretty early, but just how golf, from my perspective, is such a function of who you're with. I mean, if you're out there with close friends that you love spending time with, I mean, I would say all things considered, I'd give it 4 stars out of 5, which might sound silly because obviously you get what you pay for. Sometimes there's courses that are you pay a little more for and you get a little more value, but I'd say 4 stars out of 5. I had, a lot of fun, and I factored that in and weighed a little bit more because other courses I played were work events, and you didn't exactly enjoy who you were golfing with, and it wasn't that much fun. But I'd say 4 stars out of 5 for sure on my end.
Nice. All right, I'll give it. I agree. 4 out of 5. That was a 4-star experience for sure. Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I had fun. If we're rating on fun, 5 stars all the time. But if we're going based on the course and the play, I'd give it a 3.6 for more of an accurate. Based on how it played, how I felt, everything was greens, fairway, rough, everything. I'd give it a 3.6.
You're a harsh critic.
I am very harsh.
Everybody, every podcast has to have a harsh critic, because if we all fluff them up, we can't be realistic. So 3.6, but you know what, I think Google had it at 4.3, so the Google reviews trump you, Evan. Yeah. So
we'll see once my review gets in.
I didn't see what they were rated on Facebook, but anyway, all right, you guys kind of, all right, we had a good match, we've gotten to review it and talk about it, we've gotten to play 9 holes with Alex, we're gonna round them up. Where's our next match gonna be?
We have to play Kaufman.
You want to go to Kaufman?
Yeah,
Kaufman. I mean, I'm gonna venture out kind of in the same neck of the woods as Alpine course is Gracewell. Would love to get on the greens at Gracewell and just say, hey, how does it compare to Alpine? I mean, it's close by. It's close to my house. And it's worth a shot. It might be better. It might be worse. It's a blank canvas for me.
You're a man that seeks convenience.
Close to home is good for me, bad for you.
Close to home is good, and low cost is good.
But Kaufman, I've heard, I did play that. It was a work outing probably about 7-8 years ago, and it was. I don't have any memories of it, but you talk about it enough that I'd love to get my feet on the green there and see what it's like.
Let's get your feet on the green next week. Today's Friday. We'll get a time out there next Friday. I think we'll get Alex, and so we'll connect with him and get a tee time set up. Graceful, it's funny that you mentioned that because I did Snapchat your video, your backwards tee shot to our good friend Connor. And he was out at Graceful at that very moment. Yeah. And so he sent me back a snap of their course. And so I told him, I said, we'll hit it up sometime. So maybe we'll get old con man on the podcast and play Graceful together and maybe record one live. Or who knows what they'll bring. But Evan, you down to get out the Meadows? You think out or Meadows? Kaufman.
I'm actually playing Meadows tonight. So nice. Yeah, and I do want to try to play Kaufman. Garrett has said a lot about it and he really likes the course, so I want to try it out and, you know, venture out to all the courses here in Grand Rapids.
All right, guys, you heard it here first. We're not sponsored by Capital One, but we'll have the match 2.0 next week, and we'll have to pre-cap and recap that one live on the pod. But Evan, man, it's been good having you on. We've referenced you a couple of times on here, and you know you don't listen and you don't know it yet. But
I'm sure I'll get the listen here eventually. But no, I appreciate being able to join in on this podcast and talk about a great round of golf.
Nice. We'll have you back next week. And Dirk, always a pleasure.
Yep, you can call me Derek, Dirk, VJ, Vince, VJ Singh, Vince Vaughn, whatever you want to call me. I'll answer to it all.
All right. And we'll get your video of your backwards tee shot out live on the Instagram for the fans and the followers to enjoy. So it's I appreciate you being humble about that. But thanks again, everybody, for joining. And thanks for jumping on and kind of listening to the nonsense that this match brought for us. But Alpine Golf Club, great place, great opportunity to get out and have some fun. So if you're in the area, definitely check it out. And we'll be back talking Kaufman and the match 2.0 next week. So stay tuned, folks. But thanks again for jumping on the Michigan Golf Podcast.